What a perfect place to begin this morning, and just to think that He died for you. We're in Galatians chapter 2 this morning. Traveled this week to the Midwest, Missouri. You know, you don't have to go very far for things to get different. For Kentucky folks, anyway. You know, you don't have to go that far west for things start to look a little different. You can ask, I think it's Carrie and Stacy and my wife about a fudge factory that they visited. I won't go any further into that. Going on, you know, we were there and we were, Casey was talking to me one night, Casey Webb, and he said, man, they've got some different accents over here, don't they? I said, well, they think the same thing about us. You know, last time I was there, Brother Dennis was introduced me and said, you got to come around and see the cons, and if anything, just to hear their accent, it's like gravy dripping from a spoon. And we went out to eat, and I believe that the Midwest is a sacrilegious place because they don't serve sweet tea. Carrie found out that going into a restaurant, she ordered some sweet tea. I'm like, sorry, honey, we don't have any of that. So they need Jesus and they need sweet tea. We noticed on the way back, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel, and I was looking on the menu. You know, around here when we order any menu item, it comes like grits, like is on there, right? There is a side item that you have to add. You have to request it. It doesn't automatically come with your meal. And I remember the first time. I mean, I like grits. Anybody else here like grits? Yeah, I like grits. First time I remember eating grits, I remember going down south. I remember somebody plopping that white bowl of stuff in front of me. I wasn't sure if I was gonna like them or not. I was like, you know, I didn't order these. They're like, you don't have to pay for them. You just get them. Don't worry about it. You don't cost you nothing. You're just going to get these. You know, that's the same with grace. You and I don't have to work for it. We don't have to pay for it. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we just get it. It comes with it. As we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about this biblical gospel that Paul's preaching about being rooted in grace. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. You know, we can feel grace. We can feel grace in our lives. We can feel it at every point in turn in our lives. And as a pastor, I tell you that you need to believe in the grace or that you need to accept the grace of God. But you know, when I read my Bible, I realize that it says that I think we can see grace. We can see grace manifested and working in the lives of others. And I believe as Christian people, we need to learn and be able to learn to see grace and distinguish it when we do see it, but for all kinds of reasons, and we'll talk about that as we get into here. But when we started off talking, we started looking at Galatians. Paul started off. Remember, he was defending his ministry. Remember, Paul was writing to the Galatians, a church who had some guys who snuck in and said, "Yeah, you know that Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus Christ. That's a good teacher, and yeah, he is the Savior. But you know what? In order to be saved, you got to do a little bit more. There's a little bit more you have to do. You're going to have to get circumcised. You're going to start keeping some law." And Paul says, no. That's not going to work. That's not the gospel. And Paul starts to preach and starts to tell them in this letter, he says, listen, I'm an apostle and I'm sent by Jesus Christ Himself to proclaim the true gospel. And if you don't believe my gospel, you can't change it, because if you change it, it becomes something else. If you add anything to the gospel of grace, it's not grace anymore. It's something else entirely. So Paul is defending his ministry. He's defending the gospel message that he has to send out. And now Paul is going to defend his gospel by illustrating his power. We're going to read this, and then we'll go back through it, and we'll unpack it as we go. Starting in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "The 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles,
but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in vain or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy on our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring unto us bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, because God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But in contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived grace was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So today we're talking about learning to see grace, to see it and recognize when we see it. We need to be able to see it. Here's a couple of reasons why. As it gives us confidence. It's an exciting thing to see the grace of God working in lives, because I don't know about you, because I can get to places in my life where I start to feel alone, you know? And one of the things that's so great about our God is just, He will never leave us or forsake us, but sometimes I feel alone. But when I can look out there and I can recognize and I can see the grace of God working in people's lives, I'm reminded. He's here. He's always here. He's everywhere. It gives us confidence. It's a promised grace of God. It's something, listen, when we can see it working, it's also something that we realize that it's a promise that you and I can lay hold of here and now. It's not a future benefit. It's a here and now benefit. The grace of God is, what is the grace of God? It's the unmerited favor of God. Amen. Unmerited favor of God. You want favor in your life. I don't care about favor at a hand of poker or favor at a dinner table. That's all good. But I want the favor of God in my life. And that's what the grace of God is. Favor in all circumstances. We have a saying whenever we talk about things in this life, whenever we're talking about, well I want to, you know, in Missouri is a show me state. That's where we just come from, the show me state. That's kind of what we're talking about today. You know, we have a saying called the proof is in the pudding. Well, Paul has come here, and what he's brought is he brought a whole lot of pudding with him. He's getting ready to show them some of the things and the evidences of grace in his life. In verse 1, chapter 2, Paul says, in 14 years, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took Titus with me also. Titus was a Gentile. He was a disciple of Paul's. Remember, some of you have been here on Sunday nights, and we've talked for the last four Sunday nights about discipleship. About reaching back and helping someone along, and reaching forward and having someone help you along. About learning what it is to follow Christ, to having a meaningful relationship, accountability, someone teaching you and walking you through and showing you some of these biblical principles. It's important to be a disciple. Yeah, we can sit in here and we can just hear things and let it bounce off our ears, but to be doers of the Word, we're going to be disciples. We're going to be people engaged in learning the Word of God, learning how to follow. And one of the best things you can do in your life is have someone that you follow Jesus with. You can be accountable to. You say, hey, brother, I need help in this area of my life. I'm struggling in this area of my life. Will you pray for me? What scripture do you use to get to these troubled times in your life? That's what Titus was in Paul. He was a disciple. Paul was working with Titus, teaching him how to walk this godly life. And he brings them along because what Paul wants him to see, when Paul brings them to Jerusalem, he wants these people in Jerusalem to see the proof, the pudding. Here's one of my disciples. He's a Greek. He hasn't been circumcised like the other Jews. I want you to look at him. I want you to hear what he has to say. The things that he knows, I want you to tell me. Do you think he ought to be circumcised? And Titus, I want you to listen to them. I want you to hear what they're preaching and what they're saying. And I want you to tell me by what you understand about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, if somehow it's not finished work, or there's something else that you need to do. And if you decide to do, just go ahead and be circumcised. Titus was going to be able to decide for himself if he wanted to add law to this gospel of grace. In verse 2, it says, and I went up by revelation. not only did Paul bring Titus, but he also came up with a big bag of money. You know that? If you just listen to me as I read this. There was a prophecy about a famine that would happen in Jerusalem. You can read about that in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. I'll read these verses. And it says, "In those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and they stood up, one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that they should be great dearth or famine around all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief, to send some money, unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So what I want you to see is that when Paul came to these leaders, and came up, and he was bringing Titus, who was a disciple, but he's also bringing a big bag of grace in his hand. A big bag of grace. Because you know what grace is? Grace comes, also, you can see grace in the sacrificial obedience of other people. The sacrificial obedience of other people. These men heard that there was going to be a great famine. They took up a collection and they brought all that together. And Paul took that and he was able to hand this over. He's able to come and say, "Look at Titus, my disciple. Listen to the things that he's learned. Look at his life. Look at the fruits of his life. And also here, this came from all the saints around the world that I've been preaching to. They took up this collection for you." And so Paul's got all this evidence here, and then Paul himself, he's someone who can see grace. Paul himself can see grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, just stay where you are, I'm going to read this to you. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do not to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So I want you to witness, I want you to know about this grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How does Paul see this? Listen to what he says. "How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For in their power I bear record," he said, "I saw this, I bear record. Ye, and beyond their power, they were willing to give of themselves." They were willing to give beyond their own power. They were given more than what they had. He says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Paul said, "I saw grace in these people. I was there at Macedonia and they didn't have a whole lot and they were in a lot of affliction. A lot of stuff was going on in their life." Do y'all have a lot of stuff going on in your life? Myself? Paul said, "I've seen some people with a lot of stuff going on in their life. You know what? And they gave themselves wholly unto the Lord and they also give to you. They gave this gift." Also, that's the grace of God. You know what the grace of God is? When God gets His favor and He pours it out on you, you know how you can tell if you have the grace of God? Is whenever you take that overflow and you bless someone else with it. Then you can see grace. You can see grace working in the lives of other people. Then the next verses of the 2 Corinthians, Paul says that you can excel or you can exceed in grace. He says in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "Insomuch that we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Look what he says. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, as you exceed, as you excel, as you grow in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, in your love towards us," listen to what he says. "See that you abound in grace also." It's great, you know, you got growing in so many areas. Know your Bibles. Pray a lot. Grow in your faith and knowledge of the Lord. Do all those things. Make sure you're growing in grace. Make sure that the favor that God gives you in your life, that you bless somebody else. That you show that favor that God's given to you through a life as an example. So I want you to see this. Paul's got this reputation. He's been preaching the gospel that he once tried to destroy. Remember we read that last week? Paul once tried to destroy the gospel. I mean, people see him. So this guy that once was trying to destroy this whole thing, now he's preaching it. Isn't this crazy? I'm a little bit scared of this guy. And this guy was breathing threatenings down the church's back, and he was wanting to destroy it. But now he's preaching this gospel. And everybody's kind of like got this little sideways tilt to their face like, what's going to happen to this guy next? He brings Titus with him and his big bag of money. And then verse 2, he says, I went up by revelation. Now we're back in our text. He says, and I communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But privately to them who are of reputation, lest any means I should run or had run in vain. Now here's what I want you to understand real quick. Paul's not seeing if what he's preaching is right here. Paul's not coming up there and saying, hey, I've been preaching this gospel. Will you tell me if I'm right or not? He's not doing it. Paul knows that he received this revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul goes up there to these men and he says, here's what I'm preaching. Let me hear what you're preaching. You know, sometimes when I want to fellowship with somebody or I want to meet somebody else in life and I want to know whether it's, I would say, tell me what you preach. Tell me what you believe. They're not going to change me. They're not going to influence me. They have no bearing on what I do in my life, but I want to hear what they have to say. And Paul goes up there and he listens to him and says, what are you preaching? What's this gospel that you're proclaiming out there? In verse 3 he says, but neither Titus who was with me, being Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Listen what he says. Notice what he says. He says, listen, we were up there and we were talking to these guys and we didn't hear one thing that convinced us that we ought to go get circumcised. We heard them out. We let them talk. We let them say their piece. And we listened to the whole thing and when we were done, we're like, you know what? You didn't say anything that would cause me to change what I believe. People are compelled sometimes to insert law where we have freedom. Sometimes people want to stick in law because they can't handle the freedom that you have in Christ. You know, the law's good. I mean, thou shalt not murder. Everybody agree that's a good law? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a good one, isn't it? You know what the mistake is? It's when you follow those because you believe that will win God's favor. That's the trouble. Those are great laws. But when you do it because you believe that you receive grace or grace is imputed to you because you keep the law, that's where you've got into a whole other thing. It's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Look at verse 5 with me. This is really important. Because he says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. He said, we didn't entertain the thought that you could add something to grace for a minute. Never crossed our mind. We listened to him. We said, nope, still just grace. It's still grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. You add Christ plus this, Christ plus anything, guess what you don't have? The gospel anymore. You've polluted it into something completely different. Look what he says, though. Listen to the reason why they gave no place for it. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, the minute that the gospel leaves our lips, and then we start to say something legalistic like, yeah, it's grace through faith, but you need to make sure you come to church every Sunday. Killed it. You stopped it right there. Yeah, you ought to. It's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but if you play drums during your congregational worship, you're not scriptural. Just killed the gospel. You just stopped it right there on your lips. Paul says we didn't entertain none of the legalism, none of the things they wanted to add to it, because we wanted to make sure that when we preach the gospel, it could continue with you. That when you heard it, it would stay pure, it would stay grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Look at verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. I love this about Paul. He says, you know what? These people seem like they were something. I don't know who they were. I don't really care because God doesn't care. Doesn't matter to Paul. Doesn't matter to God. God respects no man's person. God's not a respecter of persons. I don't care if you're sitting there at home on a Saturday afternoon and you're watching Oprah Winfrey and she's talking about all the every way is one way to God and we all can just jump on this boat. I'm telling you right now, you can't respect a person. Doesn't matter what movie star, what newfangled devotion book you go out and get, or whoever it's written by, none of that matters. Doesn't matter what preacher preaches it, it matters what the Word of God says. Amen. Paul says it didn't make it matter to me who they were.
What mattered to me was the Word of God and the Word that I received from God. Verse 7, he says, but contrariwise, they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me. They saw it. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Look carefully up there, because they said that they saw the gospel was truly committed to Paul, just like it was Peter. I think Peter, it would have been cooler than Peter, wouldn't it have been, to be there, and you were one of the apostles, all right? And you were walking with Jesus, the 11, and you were walking around with him, and you got to learn all this teaching, and you're hearing all this good stuff, and then Jesus gives you this commission and says, I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to go into every nation. Man, that's a big task. Whew! That's a lot to put on us, Jesus. And then Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always. And he goes, and you're kind of wondering, like, is he really with us? And then they get, the Holy Spirit comes down, and they're starting to speak in tongues, and perform these miracles, all this stuff. But then, like, it comes to this other point where, like, is it really on us, is it really just on us apostles? And this guy comes knocking on the door one day. So I got Titus and this big bag of money and this gospel I've been preaching that Jesus gave to me. I'd have loved to have been Peter right then, because it would have been a hallelujah moment for me. Because as I was sitting there working and doing all this stuff for God, I was realizing that God had been working all along in someone else's life, preparing someone else and working in their life. And he brings Paul up there, and Paul's like, hey, I got the same gospel message you're preaching. And they said, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You know, we walked with him 3 years, and he taught us all the things that you're telling now. Paul's like, I was with him 3 years too in the deserts of Arabia. I learned everything that you learned. I said, yeah, you did. That's awesome. That's awesome. That would have been a glory hallelujah moment for me. In verse 8 it says, for he that wrought effectually into Peter, the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Same God, same Spirit in both of us. Same one. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas, the right hand of the fellowship, that we should go into the heathen and they into the circumcision. So look once again, so they perceived. They could see the grace on Paul's ministry. You could see the evidence of it. You could see it all throughout Paul's ministry. Paul tells the Galatians as we read this. I mean, I just think about it. Let's just kind of go over this letter in our head. He says, I was a murderer. I was against the church, but I received the grace of God. I received the grace of God, and he gave me the gospel, and I went and I preached this gospel. I've made a disciple, and I've taught this guy everything I know. I went around to the churches, and I told them about their need, and I came here with a big bag of money. What do you think, guys? I think that when they looked at Paul, I think those men in Jerusalem could see the grace of God working all in his life. I think that when I look at some of you guys, I think that I can remember when Thomas started to come to church and his family all started to pile in that pew and they all started to hear the gospel message. I can see the grace of God in Thomas' life. I see that with a lot of you. You know, as a preacher, I get to see grace working in each and every one of your lives. We got to be able to see it. But you know what the problem is? Sometimes we're looking in the wrong places to see the grace of God. We're looking in the sunny places, in the bright places, places where there's no struggle. But I don't think that's where you'll find grace most often. I think you'll find grace in the person that stands up in the church and says, I've been a battle on addiction for 10 years of my life, and it looks like it's winning. I want to ask you guys to love me through this time of my life. And everybody says, amen. And they hug that person. You'll see grace where someone says, hey, I've got some sin in my life I don't want to tell anybody about. I want to tell you because I don't want any judgment. I know you're a Christian, and I know that you believe that we're all saved the same way. Doesn't matter how bad, how much I've done. I want to tell you, and you say, yeah. And you carry that burden with that brother. That's grace. Preacher, I get to see that all the time. I get to see people come and share their problems, and we pray to God, and we see God working in the problems in our life. Grace of God isn't out in the sunny stuff. It isn't out here planting the flowers for Mother's Day. It's in the tough stuff. You have to learn to see it. It's not a one-time proclamation. It's not like I'm saved, so now I have the grace of God. I have the grace of God. It's an ongoing thing in your life. It's a fact. It's a promise of as you go on that you have the grace of God in your life. We got to learn how to recognize it, to give thanks for it, to point others to it. Most importantly, we got to receive it. We got to get that grace first. I think there's some here today. If you were to be honest, you'd say, "I'm hearing this, and I want favor of God in my life. Like that's important to me. I really want the favor of God in my life. I'm gonna say this to you. I want you to have the favor of God in your life, and you need the favor of God. But what you need more than anything is you need Jesus. You got to have Jesus. That's how you get God's grace." I saw a plumbing, or the van on a plumber saying, "There's no place too deep, no place too dark that we won't go." That's the grace of God. It'll go into this ocean. Every one of us here, we've done it. Man, I tell you what, we've done some stuff, Adam. In our lives, we've done some stuff. God, in His sovereignty, proclaimed that His grace would be greater than our sin. We can take it all right here. We can all pile up the church. We can make a big heap and mound of them. We can all look back and cross arms and say, "What a pile of sin we've made here." And guess what? His grace still covers that and covers a bunch of us too, guys. You sitting here today, you want favor of God in your life. You personally, Jesus, you need that forgiveness. But think of the worst thing you've ever done in your life. Think about this. God still loves you. He still loves you. He still wants you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ so you can become a child of His. You'll spend an eternity with Him. But if you turn from that today, you don't make the step, you don't make the choice to accept Jesus Christ today, you're turning from the favor of God. You're turning from the love of God. God displayed His love by sending His Son here. And it took Jesus. I want that favor and I want that love in my life. I want to live my life with the grace of God in it. That's the simple choice here today. Listen, if you're here today, and the things that I'm saying, it's kind of resonating, it's kind of pricking your heart. Guess what? That's the grace of God. That's the love of God, the favor of God saying, "I'm drawing you to me right now. Hear this word and accept it." And that's up to you. We're going to give a song of invitation, and this is your opportunity to respond to the grace of God. Don't turn away from it. Don't stand.